You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Gather ye Lobetrotters, the time has come. Our hallowed weekly ritual has now begun. 100 episodes we celebrate this week. Download them if it be knowledge that ye seek. Jokes, actually, they have plenty of those too. Oh, and at least a couple of facts about poo. Boosting brains by being bodacious best buddies. Booing hoity-toity trivia fuddy-duddies. Robotic tunes by Elvis sung in monotone. A quiz where every band name shares a homophone. I highly recommend this brain food emporium, not though that you sample fresh-sourced castoreum. Congratulations Colin, Dana, Chris and Karen on 100 episodes from Perth, Western Australia.
Nifty, nice, and knowledgeable knights and ninjas. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 100, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your happy house of hunks and honeys, honing hearty handiness.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
100! Yay!
Amazing.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
This episode is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create professional websites, blogs, portfolios, or online stores. Avid listeners know that I run marathons or races a lot in Disney World and in Disneyland. And what you guys might not know is that I actually dress up as characters and yeah. I make costumes and I run marathons in them. So actually over the weekend, I decided finally after years and years of doing this, I was like, you know what? I need to have a dedicated website for all of my costumes and pictures and how-tos and all that stuff. So I made one with Squarespace and it took me like 2 hours. So now I have an awesome website that shows all my crazy costumes. Ooh. And I'm very surprised because Squarespace makes it, you can also get your domain name too in one package. I cannot believe someone has not claimed myrunningcostumes.com.
Oh.
Because someone took racing costume, running costume, like different permutations, but I was like, my running costumes. And I was like, oh, it's open. And I was like, yes, I'm going to get it.
All right.
So that is my running costume site that I used Squarespace to make. And now for a free trial, a 14-day trial, they've extended it. It's no longer 7 days. Now it's 14 days. And 10% off your first purchase on new accounts. Go to squarespace.com and use the offer code GOODJOBBRAIN. So everybody, episode 100 and our anniversary, 2 year anniversary. Double whammy all in one. Exactly on this air date, 2 years ago, we debuted the first episode of Good Job Brain and we had no idea where it was going to take us. We had no idea what we were doing. I had no idea what was going to happen.
I had the over under at 4 episodes. Yeah.
Lost a lot of money.
I should have taken the under.
And of course, not to stray too far from tradition, today is also our all quiz bonanza. And every fifth episode, we have a general quiz show where we don't really have a particular theme and we all prepare different quizzes on different topics and puzzles for each other and for you guys, listeners. And for a while, especially for this episode, I was kind of stuck on what special thing we can do for episode 100. I think we talked about maybe a live show, maybe a call-in. Mm-hmm. It got really complicated.
The Hollywood Bowl was booked for today, as it turns out.
I think we decided that the best way to celebrate our birthday is to celebrate our listeners. And I feel like it's a milestone, not for the four of us, but for everybody. You know, whether if you listen to us since day one or you just found the show like a couple days ago, I like to think that we're all in this together and we're all on one big trivia team. And we definitely wouldn't have gotten where we are now without your support. So remember how we've been calling for audio submissions in past episodes from listeners? So sprinkled throughout today's show, we're going to feature some of these audio clips and birthday messages that our listeners have recorded and sent us. We will also be answering listener questions and share some behind the scenes facts.
Oh.
So get ready.
Yeah, we really enjoyed listening to all the messages that everybody sent in. Thank you for sending us so many birthday wishes. And we just want to share a few, you know, with you guys.
All right, without further ado, let's jump into our first general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. And here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card, and you guys have your barnyard buzzers. Here we go. Blue Wedge for geography. What state flag shows a woman stepping on a fallen man?
Oh.
Interesting.
Holy cow.
State flag.
Colin.
I'll guess New York.
Incorrect. There is a hint. I think I have a good hint. It's kind of the imagery is tied with the state motto.
Okay.
That helps.
Stepping on men since 1822.
I don't know. Virginia, Vermont, one of the
Virginia.
Oh,
Virginia.
Okay. Virginia.
That's like a lady's name. Could have been Florida.
Maybe that's her.
The woman is virtue. And the man is a tyrant.
Ah,
and
okay.
Their state motto is
stepping on your balls. Virginia.
Yeah, that's right.
Feel the burn.
Virginia, it's not for tyrants.
Stepping on your balls. All right, Pink Wedge for pop culture. Name two of the four main characters on TV's Golden Girls. Okay, let's go around the room.
Oh, okay.
All right, Chris.
Blanche.
Rose.
Sophia.
And then?
Dorothy.
Dorothy. Dorothy. Yeah. Yeah. Do we all know their last names?
Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah. Sophia Petrello, is it?
Yes.
Rose Nyland.
Yes.
Blanche Devereaux, right? Yeah.
And then Dorothy's Bornak.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Wow.
I watched that show for real.
Holy cow.
Good job. Wow, Dana. All right. Yellow Wedge.
Now I feel embarrassed. I don't know why.
That's good trivia fodder. Yeah. All right. Yellow Wedge. What two nations fought the Falklands War in 1982? And this is for the islands, the Falkland Islands.
I believe that was Argentina and the UK.
Wow, hey.
All right, Purple Wedge. What Andrew Lloyd Webber rock musical is performed on roller skates? Wow, Dana buzzed in first.
Oh. Is it the Midnight Express?
So close.
No.
Oh, incorrect.
The one with the trains.
Isn't it?
I can't think of it.
Really?
Is it Starlight Express?
Starlight Express.
Yes.
Okay. Right. Lots of neon and roller skates.
It's pretty cool. They're supposed to be trains. Like each person is a car of a train. So there's like diner.
This is getting stupider.
No. There's like Rusty is like the steam powered train, and there's the electrical one, and there's like a dining car train.
Uh-huh. It's kind of like proto cars, I imagine.
Yeah. It is.
Right.
And they're in roller skates. It's not dumb. All right, Green Wedge for science. What is both a poisonous element and the on-screen companion to Old Lace? Dana.
Arsenic.
Yes, arsenic. Yes. The 1944 movie Arsenic and Old Lace starred Cary Grant. Last question, Orange Wedge. What baseball feat is sometimes referred to as a jack, dinger, or tater? Colin.
That hitting a home run.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
Also, there's a more information on the
more?
Card. Yeah. One might also slug a four-bagger or go yard.
A four-bagger.
I love the enthusiasm with which you delivered that. Yeah. Tater.
I wonder why it's called like home fries. Whoa. No, I'm just making it.
It's not even.
Bad trivia.
I was like, no points? Because
four-bagger makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
The dinger makes sense.
Yes.
What's dinger?
Like, you know, ringing a bell.
A humdinger.
Humdinger. Yeah, right. Yeah, but...
Tater.
It's just fun to say.
I love how it's on this Trivial Pursuit card in the present tense, and I'm sure the last time someone ever said
it was like 100 years ago.
A home run, yeah.
All right, so let's start off. I have a couple of listener questions. Jonathan Morris asked us, how was the fan meetup in Vegas?
It was so fun.
It was amazing.
It was awesome. Yeah.
We had people, like two families drove up from Phoenix.
Yep.
Which was, I can't even believe it. People came from San Francisco. There's a couple who lives, we're in my place right now. There's this couple who lives like a 5-minute walk away, I think, who came to Vegas to see us.
We should do one in the Bay Area.
Kind of bad.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it was like, of course, of course the people who come to our fan meetup are really cool people who like trivia. Like, people very easy to talk to, yeah. Super nice. It was fun. Yeah.
We had listeners as young as 10, yeah. As old as 60s or yep. Higher. Mm-hmm. It was great. Yeah. It was
really awesome.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
Yep.
And speaking of the Arizona contingent, Mama Arizona, Marsha, asked us, she was at the meetup.
Oh, she sent a question?
Did she
call herself Mama Arizona, or was that your nickname?
And she asked, would you do another meet and greet?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's our next destination?
The moon.
The next one.
Yeah, Michelle Carter asked, if money wasn't a factor, where would you love to do another on-location episode or meetup?
If we had an unlimited budget, maybe go to find the oldest pub we could find.
Pub in Britain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to a real,
find some pub that's
find an elephant and castle in
500 years.
That's
a good idea.
That's cool.
Somewhere where there's a lot of trivia.
We won't know their trivia, probably, because it is different culture, we're reminded by people who listen in other countries.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah. There's gonna be a lot of soccer questions that we get goose eggs.
And they don't call it soccer either. Probably.
Also true. Again, it might be a little expensive to get out to the moon for the meetup, but if you're already going there, you can just add it in to your
vacation hotspot.
I'm going to go to one of those underwater hotels.
Remember what James Cameron, the movie Abyss? Yeah. Oh my God, that just made me not want to touch water for a really long time.
The hotel is not like
that underwater. What about Titanic?
That underwater. Just kidding. Titanic is sort of an underwater hotel. Yeah. Now it is.
Ooh.
Dark.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too soon.
Please record your greeting after the tone.
Aloha, guys. My name is Jason Harder. I've been listening to you guys since the very start, from Honolulu, Hawaii, to Portland, Oregon, Topeka, Kansas. Anywhere I go, I always take Good Job Brain with me. Have a great day, guys. Aloha.
Hello, my name is Madeline. I am 6 years old. My favorite podcast is When the Bees Ate the M&Ms and their honey turned different colors.
Hi, Good Job Brain. My name's Paul. I listen to you in Chichester in the United Kingdom, usually on my way to work. I'm a primary school teacher, what you guys would call them, elementary school teacher, and I love sharing your trivia with the children in my class and trying to pass it off as my own knowledge where I can. Although if it's really, really an awesome or disgusting fact, I do credit you guys and encourage my students to listen when they can. All the best.
Hi, Good Job Brain. My name is Brittany. I'm calling from San Diego. I listen to you guys pretty much every day on my way to work, and you guys always seem to keep me entertained, and thank you so much for just always having a bunch of cool, geeky, interesting facts about the world and whatnot. Seriously, you guys rock. Keep it up. And happy 100th episode.
I have a quiz for you guys. All about 100.
Wow!
Speaking of the number and anniversaries, it seemed appropriate to put some of these together for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get you guys warmed up here with one that should be a little easy, even though it is a sports question. This one seemed like a great one to throw in. Today, as we sit here, Sunday, recording, is the anniversary of one of the most revered records in professional sports. On March 2nd, 1962, this basketball legend set the record for most points in an NBA game, scoring 100 points on the nose. Who am I talking about? Chris.
Is it Wilt Chamberlain?
It is. Wilt Chamberlain. Yeah, I thought that was just a nice happy coincidence. Happened to be today's anniversary.
Did he have a nickname? Like, he did, right?
He had the Wilt the Stilt was one of his nicknames. Yep. Because he was tall, you see.
Yes,
and nicknames weren't as creative back then.
How'd they think of that? So I just want to say that 100 episodes later, I just got a sports question right.
Yeah!
Boom! High five!
Celebrations all around.
Yeah.
They did win that game, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yes, yes. 169 to 147. Okay, I have a two-part question here for you guys. This is a money question. And it seems like we've been getting a lot of money questions in Pub Quiz recently.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me, we'll start off with the easy part first. Who is depicted on the front of the $100 bill?
Oh.
Chris again.
Is this the American $100 bill?
Yes, the United States $100 bill.
That would be Mr. Benjamin Franklin.
All about the Benjamins.
Good stalling for time. Yeah.
That would be Mr.
Yeah.
Oh, these not, United States.
Not President Benjamin Franklin.
Yes, not President Benjamin Franklin. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, as you may know, the $100 bill is one of the only two U.S. notes that doesn't have a president on the front. Mm-hmm. This is actually sort of a little bonus here. Do you guys know the other one?
I'll bill. Throw. Bill.
It is a
coins.
Bill. That's right.
Bill.
Let's see. Okay. George Washington.
It's like...
I think I do know.
It's the 10. Who's on the 10?
Oh, is it Hamilton?
It is Hamilton. Yeah. Alexander Hamilton. Okay. Yeah. Yes. But that actually was not the second part of my question. Here's the trickier part, but also related to being special.
It was 1B.
What is unique about the building depicted on the reverse side of the $100 bill compared to all other buildings on the backs of U.S. bills?
I don't even know what building it is.
Chris.
It's not in America.
Oh, you're thinking in the right lines. Yeah.
Is it a private residence versus a publicly owned
building?
The
back of the $100 bill is the only note that shows a building not in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
Okay.
It is.
What building?
Independence Hall in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that makes sense for Benjamin.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They should change it to Pat's Steaks.
Cheese Steaks?
Yeah.
Gino's on one half, Pat's on the
Pat's
other.
Pat's on the other.
Yeah. You don't want to take sides.
To end the argument once and for all.
Two guys holding hands.
No, they're holding cheesesteaks.
They're holding one.
And there's like an eagle, you know, clutching the cheesesteak.
Yeah.
So I came across this recently about, you know how most of the American bills got a redesign?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the $1 bill is the one that didn't.
Mm.
And one of the reasons why, can you guys guess why the $1 bill did not receive a redesign?
Interesting.
Mm.
And it's really practical.
There's a reason? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it there's a lot of them?
Well, there are a lot of vending machines that only take $1 bills.
Oh.
And once you change it, you would have to update.
Got it.
Current vending machines, maybe because it would be a software problem, you know, but like there are a lot of old school vending machines that are still.
Just candy bar machines across the entire country. Like all of them would have to be updated or just thrown away.
That makes a lot of sense.
And they're old.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Plus, they don't really need a lot of security on the $1 bill. Nobody really trying to counterfeit those. Probably would cost you more than a dollar.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not worth your time.
Right.
So, according to Box Office Mojo, the highest grossing movie of all time, as you guys may be aware, is Avatar, with over $2 billion grossed worldwide. But I'm not interested in number ones. I'm interested in number 100s.
Whoa!
So, you guys are going to have to tell me...
Usually on the show, it's number two.
Yeah.
What is the 100th highest grossing movie of all time with a little bit over $550 million? And I'll give you some hints.
Yeah, please.
I don't expect you to just plug it out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was the highest grossing film of 1998.
Okay.
This was also the first movie where the cast was permitted to use real NASA spacesuits. Dana.
Is it Armageddon?
It is Armageddon.
Wow.
Yes. They kind of attributed NASA's willingness to go along with this to the success that Top Gun had. You know, Top Gun famously, when it came out in the 80s, was the first movie that had that kind of access to actual, fighter jets and aircraft carriers and involvement. So they persuaded NASA to let them use these, multi-million dollar spacesuits.
Oh,
they were
sure.
Not just the first movie, but these were the first civilians, I guess, non-NASA employees to ever wear the spacesuits.
Huh. So they were doing it for PR reasons, you think, to get people excited about NASA budget
in part,
stuff.
The plot to Top Gun is a lot more plausible than the plot to Armageddon.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We will, however, stick with movies for a minute. Mm-hmm. The AFI, the American Film Institute, they put out their 100 years, 100 movies list. They originally put it out in 98, and they've committed themselves to refreshing it every 10 years.
Okay.
So the most recent revisiting was in 2007. So
it's not one movie a year, right?
No.
It's just 100 movies.
These 100 movies over this time span. Mm-hmm. So you have, as you can figure out, if they add new movies, that means some movies have to get kicked off.
Got it.
So
within the last 100 years. So
that's right. So when they did the 2007 edition, it was any movie released up through 2005 was eligible for inclusion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the question for you guys, buried underneath all of that, is this movie, based on a popular novel, is the only film from the 2000s on AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movies list. What movie is this?
Oh my God.
The novel did not come out in the 2000s.
Oh, okay, but it's based on a novel.
The movie came out in the 2000s, based on a very, very, very popular book.
Very, very popular book?
Oh, Lord of the Rings.
Yes,
okay.
Lord of the Rings,
just
the Fellowship of the Rings.
Okay.
That's right, from 2001. Mm-hmm. Sits halfway, number 50 on the list.
Wow.
Okay.
Tell me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Bring it down.
Which two countries were the primary combatants in the Hundred Years War? The Hundred Years War.
I don't know.
Did bring in other countries as well, but these were the two big sides.
England.
Yes. Who does England tend to fight
France.
A lot?
France.
Yes, England and France.
Okay.
France.
Yeah, okay.
England and France. They brought in, you know, there were some other powers that sucked into the conflict, which was actually, strictly speaking, a series of conflicts and many battles and segments over
Hold
the
on.
Years.
Did the war really last 100 years?
It did, in fact, last over 100 years. Mm-hmm. If you count all of the various battles and little individual wars, it started in the 1330s and ended in the 1450s.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
100-ish.
Yes. The Edwardian era war, the Caroline War, the Lancastrian War, and my favorite related war, the War of the Two Peters. I will leave that as an exercise to their listener to research the War of the Two Peters.
Is it just two guys?
Yeah, named Peter.
Yeah.
We will close it out, as we started, with another sports anniversary question.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, bookends. This year marks the 100th anniversary of the major league debut of baseball legend Babe Ruth. Imaginary points here.
All right.
Really not keeping track.
Candy bar.
I would like you to tell me, what team did Babe Ruth make his major league debut with, and what position did he originally play?
Jesus.
Wow.
Colin.
Chris is on it. He's
Go,
feeling it.
Do it.
Please.
Come on, slam it home.
He was on the Boston Red Sox.
Correct.
Wow.
And he was right field.
Mm.
Shortstop.
He
was a pitcher originally.
He was a pitcher originally.
Yes, and a dominant pitcher as well. He started off as a solid, solid, awesome pitcher who could also happen to hit a few
ball.
Home runs.
Huh.
And,
okay.
Of course, he later made his name as the home run hitter on the New York Yankees. But yeah, Boston Red Sox right. as a pitcher.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes,
half
Chris.
A tater.
Yeah. Two-bagger.
Yeah. He's been on both sides of the tater, they say.
Two-bagger.
Yeah, two-bagger. Yeah. Two-bagger. Yep,
yeah.
For sure.
All right, good job, guys. You acquitted yourselves well on the 100 quiz.
Bookended right, by yay. Sports questions.
Hello, folks at Good Job Brain. I'm Frank.
And I'm Cheska.
And we're coming to you from sunny Manila, Philippines.
We've been listening to the podcast for the past year now.
In fact, we're right in the middle of episode 96.
And we can't wait for episode number 100.
We just wanted to take some time to thank you for all the fun facts,
the learning and the laughs you've given us over almost 100 episodes.
And we hope you guys continue to make 100 more.
Advance happy 2 years, good job, brain. More power to you.
Hi, Good Job Brainers. I got a alliteration for you, and this is Sarah from Washington. Here it is. Einstein's energetic epileptic elephants ate 8 eggplants while watching an episode of Ed, Edd, and Eddie. I hope you like it, and I will definitely be watching. I'm not watching, listening to that 100th episode probably many times.
Hey, Good Job Brain. Happy 100th show. And to your anniversary, I wanted to let you know that I feel that I have a kinship anniversary with you. In October of 2011, I was attacked and sustained a traumatic brain injury. Being able to interpret and understand sound and speech is one of the many issues that brain injury survivors have to battle. And my occupational therapist suggested that I start listening to podcasts. And Good Job Brain was the first one that I started with. It was only in its first few episodes at the time. And I started from the beginning and have been with you guys every week since. And I can't thank you enough for volunteering your time together and creating this wonderful podcast for all of us fans to look forward to every week. And to let you know that you are literally making my brain better with each show. So I would suggest maybe as a brain injury survivor, you guys do a show on the different parts of the brain and how they work and all of the wonderful factoids that you guys come up with. So big fan of the show, and thank you for being in my life every week. So congratulations. This is Trish from St. Louis, Missouri.
So speaking of 100, I have a couple more listener questions here. This one is from Brandy Black, and she asked, out of 100 episodes, which ones were your personal favorites?
Oh, man.
I can't even... I don't know.
I don't remember anything we did.
We did a lot.
You know what? I like our plants and animals episodes. Mm-hmm. Like we've done a couple of those. I think those they all kind of merge together in my mind.
Plants was good because we had the nightshade poisoning, and then we also had the corpse flower, and we had the reindeer drug pee.
Yeah, there was some good stuff in there.
That was a weird one.
Mm-hmm. I like our all quiz ones the best. I think it's kind of fun to just play games the whole
you gotta be on the ball the whole time too. You can't just let somebody else pick it up and run with it, because you gotta be thinking.
I really enjoyed watching you guys eat that disgusting candy.
I laughed till I cried.
It was really good.
That stuff was
we cried.
That was gross.
And Max Winters asked, if you were to compare episode 1 with episode 100, what would you say has changed the most?
We know how to start talking about something and how to finish talking about something. We know naturally when something's over, so we can move on to the next thing.
Yeah, we found our flow.
Mm-hmm.
I think the production quality is what's changed the most. Like, we didn't have pop filters on the mics originally.
We
didn't have the buzzers.
Oh, true.
Berklee Jazz School like fools. Yeah. It was loud in there.
I think having good feedback from listeners throughout the weeks actually does help us kind of smooth out the process as well, knowing what works, what doesn't work. And we're still experimenting, so here's to the future.
So I have a quiz for you guys. It's called Ya Burnt, the classic literature version.
Ya Burnt.
So I went through Amazon, and I found 1-star reviews of classic works of literature. So I'll read a snippet of somebody's 1-star review of a work, and you try to figure out what it is, what book it is.
All right.
All right.
My God. Are these like joke reviews, or are they serious?
Oh, no. I think they're sincere. A lot of them talk about having to read it in high school. Like, they were working on a paper, and they're just like,
They needed to vent somehow.
They needed to vent. And you know what? I don't necessarily agree with these. Like, I think I've read most of these already, and I was like, I liked it okay, or I really liked some of them. But, these people did not. They did not like it.
Fine. My God. All right. Guess the book by its 1-star Amazon review.
Yes. All right. I so hated this book that I found myself hoping the entire Joad family would get mowed down by a Zephyr hurtling down the highway so they'd be put out of their misery. Unfortunately, Death Race 2000 wouldn't get made for another 36 years. All right.
The Grapes of Wrath?
Yes, by John Steinbeck.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. The fatal flaw in this piece of literature is its inability to stay relevant. Postmodern society does not really care about baby daddies, and the revelation which is made at the end and the beginning of this novel is reproduced daily on morning television a la Maury. Unfortunately, Nathaniel Hawthorne, you are the father of this literary disaster.
Colin. That the Scarlet Letter.
Yes.
Wow, sassy.
I know. I was like, burn. And then... personally, I would have rather been trapped on a deserted island for a couple of decades with a wreck of a ship than read this classic again. Karen.
Robinson Crusoe.
Yes, Robinson Crusoe by Daniel Defoe. This one's title is Great American Novel, You Are Not. It was like, snap, snap. Like, yeah, and then he goes, this book does an okay job of portraying that rich post-World War I 1920s era apathy generation, but the problem with portraying apathy is that your readers are going to be apathetic. Chris.
Is this The Great Gatsby?
The Great Gatsby. F. Scott Fitzgerald. All right. So I was looking around. I was like, you know, these are sassy. I bet book reviewers were also pretty harsh on some of these classics when they first came out.
Contemporaneous accounts. Like,
yes.
Okay, sure.
So here are, I'll just do three from critics who critiqued these books when they first came out.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And were very sassy, I must say. It's undeniably news in the world of books. Unfortunately, it's bad news. There are two equally serious reasons why it isn't worth any adult reader's attention. The first is that it's dull, dull, dull in a pretentious and archly fatuous fashion. The second is that it is repulsive. So both dull and repulsive.
Dull
that's their
and repulsive.
Repulsive. And I'll give you a little hint. This was in the New York Times in 1958.
Wow.
No.
Chris.
Is it A Clockwork Orange?
No. Huh. It's Lolita.
Oh.
By Vladimir Nabokov.
Mm.
Yeah. Appears to have been written by a perverted lunatic who has made a specialty of the literature of the latrine. There are whole chapters in it without any punctuation or other guide to what the writer is really getting at. Two-thirds of it is incoherent, and the passages that are plainly written are devoid of wit, displaying only a coarse alacrity intended for humor. Chris.
Is it Cat's Cradle?
No. Uh-oh. This is 1922.
Oh, 22.
Ulysses.
Ulysses.
Yeah!
James Joyce.
A whole sections yeah. without punctuation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, last one. This book, though, it's too long, gets kind of monotonous, and he should have cut out a lot about these jerks and all that crummy school.
This is official book
yeah,
review?
They depress me. And this is from the New York Times in 1951.
Is this Catcher in the Rye?
Yes, this is Catcher in the Rye.
Wow.
J.D. Salinger.
Kind of mocking the style.
Yeah, 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 yep.
Oh, I see. I was like, it sounds so casual on
yeah.
New York Times.
Seems awesome. Like you can't have it both ways. If you're going to diss the book, you can't appropriate its style to
yeah,
do so.
Right.
It's just mocking it.
Yeah.
Dull, dull, dull.
Yeah.
Two snaps. It's like the old In Living Color sketch, Men on Films,
right.
but
yeah.
it's like Men
yeah.
on Books.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Blaine... It's, oh, geez. Blaine Edwards and Anton Merriweather.
That sounds
oh,
right.
That does sound
Blaine
right.
Blaine Edwards, yes.
And
Antoine
Merriweather.
Antoine Merriweather.
Wow. Nice, Chris. Nicely pulled out.
Brain hanging on to that
snaps
one.
Snaps around the world and
in a V formation. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
All right.
Awesome. That was a great segment.
Happy birthday, Good Job Brain. This is Josh.
Esther.
Beck.
Tom.
Joe.
Ian.
Owen.
Lauren. And Alfie.
We've just finished our own trivia night at home with our new baby Alfie because we can't go to the pub anymore because he screams too much. But we had a great time.
Happy birthday, Good Job Brain.
Woo! It's Alina from Texas. I like to listen to my Good Job Brain when I'm in ceramics class on the pottery wheel. With my headphones in, I randomly break out into laughter and people look at me and I might be crazy. I also listen to it on my long commute and I'm happy to say that this weekend I went on a road trip with my boyfriend and now he listens to Good Job Brain. Love you guys.
Happy New Year to everyone at Good Job Brain. My name is George and I live at Hialeah, Puerto Rico. And I just wanted to say to you guys to keep up the good work because you guys are awesome. I love your show, your facts, your quizzes, everything you guys do. You guys are awesome.
Hey, my name is Brock. I'm from Eddyville, Kentucky. And I listen to you guys on my commute to work. I have about a 40-minute drive to Hopkinsville Middle School where I'm an art teacher. So you guys make the mornings a lot better. You guys are awesome. I share you with all my friends. We got my sister addicted to the podcast. So keep up the great work.
So my turn, and I have a word quiz. Word puzzles usually are very popular with all of us and all our listeners. And this one is inspired by our Facebook fan, Raul. Do you guys know what an emordnilap is?
palindrome spelled backwards.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Okay,
good.
Yeah.
Immordinal.
It sounded like mixed up letters, yeah.
Yeah.
Immordinalap.
Okay.
And immordinalap, that's so hard to say, words are words that if you reverse spell them, it spells out a valid word, but it's not the same word.
Okay.
A palindrome is mom and mom. Backwards, forwards, it's mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But say a immordinalap word is like, you know, loop and pool.
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So here in my quiz, the format is I'm going to give you guys clues. They're kind of like crossword puzzle, you know, kind of clues. And the answer will be a pair of immordinalap words.
Sure. All right. Wow.
Interesting.
Let's go with a short, easy one. So, for example, Egyptian deity Anubis can be described as this.
Oh.
a dog and god?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dog god.
He's a dog god.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. So that's the flavor of the quiz.
Okay. All right.
A boring old-timey poet.
Old-timey
Chris?
Drab Bard.
Yes!
Okay, good.
This is beer fit for kings and royalty. Chris?
Regal Lager.
Nice. Yeah!
Nice. I would drink some Regal Lager.
Yeah,
that's cool.
All right. This is a place in your dresser where you keep your prizes. Wow.
Reward drawer.
Whoa, you're like a savant. Okay, two more. These are the dumb ones.
Oh, good.
Save the best for last.
Save the dumbest for last.
All right. Steals poop.
Steals.
Poop.
Wrong. I know, I'm just going through all synonyms for poop and working them backwards.
Yeah, I would say go with synonyms with steel.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god, we're all going to feel so dumb. What is it?
Steel's poop. Loot's stool.
Loot's. Nice. All right, last one. What you might have when your privates get electrocuted. Each word is four letters.
What you might have when your privates get electrocuted.
For men only.
Oh, for men only.
Oh, good.
Plural.
Burn nerds.
Burn nerds.
I was imagining the bee backwards.
Nerb burn. Oh, nrub.
Burn rub.
Singed dingus.
Yeah. Nice.
That's not even.
Oh, it was so close.
It's so you're. Yeah, you're.
Your balls get electrocuted. What do you get?
The hot ball. Burn.
Stun nuts.
Nice.
Stun nuts. That's terrible. Stun nuts.
There's a lot of ball talk this episode.
Why not like an almond and a cashew get tasered?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be faster.
Okay.
Yeah.
But why would I want to tase almonds and cashews?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's just absurd, Chris.
Yeah, I know. God.
Maybe you're a police officer in Canada.
Oh, my hot
balls.
I like singed dingus.
I wish it worked. I was going to be super excited if that was it. Yeah.
If that was really it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That's it. Thank you, everybody.
So we've matured a lot over 100 episodes, I think. It's one thing that's
clear. We moved
clear.
On from poo to balls. Yeah. No, that's the new,
by way
that's
of
a new
poo.
Theme. Yeah. Yeah.
Nuts is just a funny word.
Stun nuts.
All right, we actually get this question a lot from a lot of listeners, but George and John asked us on Facebook, what are your favorite podcasters other than yourselves? Or what other podcasts do you listen to?
I love 99% Invisible.
Oh, that's so you.
Such a good one. Yeah, it is. And what that one is about is sort of, it's like an approach to the designed world. It's, you know, that good design is 99% invisible. So they tell a lot of stories of how things are designed, why they are the way they are. There was a great one on slot machines that I listened to not too long before our trip to Las Vegas. It could be about anything. It's just how they're presented. And it's they're really short, little bite size, but it always fascinates me.
I actually don't listen to that many podcasts because I spend most of the time editing ours. The other one podcast that I actually do listen to a lot, surprisingly, is the Jillian Michaels podcast. Jillian Michaels is
not really surprising. Either you're running or you're editing our podcast.
She's she's a fitness trainer. She was probably most known for Biggest Loser. She's one of the trainers. Mm. And what I like about her show is it's so positive. There's facts and there's stuff about being healthy, but also that I feel like it's tough love, but it's also really positive. And I think that's something that I really like for us to also have that message of positivity.
I like listening to NPR's Planet Money, which is really, it's just like basically like stories, like news stories reported from an economic angle, but like just sort of like, you know, interesting or unique stories. But I mean, it's like, I can kind of guess the ending usually most of the time, because basically it's like people respond to economic incentives, the podcast. So like, they're just, it's like, then they raise the price and you'll never guess what happened. It's like, they sold fewer of them. They sold fewer of them. But just a lot of different spins on like how that plays itself out. Really well reported, really entertaining.
The t-shirt one is very cool.
The t-shirt one where they make a t-shirt, but like they...
From cotton scratch,
and they show you like what does it take to make a t-shirt.
I listen to a ton of podcasts. I'm a huge podcast fan. I love Stuff You Missed in History Class. The old ones I listen to over and over again just because I like the stories that they're telling. Podcastle is really good. Fantasy, short stories, and Escape Pod.
Dana listens to the most.
She's a podcast maker.
Nerdist Writers Panel is really good. Mm-hmm. They have writers from different TV shows and movies and comic books talking about their creative process. And it's really inspiring and fun to hear about how other people solve creative challenges.
Wait, Chris, you listen to the Iced Tea podcast.
We have listened to a few episodes of the Iced Tea podcast, yes. It's just Iced Tea talking about a variety of different things in popular culture with his own inimitable spin and take on it. It's very funny because he has no filter. He really doesn't care what anyone thinks of what he thinks.
He's Iced Tea.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty great.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
You can spend less time staying in the know about all things gaming and get more time to actually play the games you love with the IGN Daily Update podcast. All you need is a few minutes to hear the latest from IGN on the world of video games, movies, and television with news, previews, and reviews. You'll hear everything from Comic-Con coverage to the huge Diablo 4 launch. So listen and subscribe to the IGN Daily Update wherever you get your podcasts. That's the IGN Daily Update, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Good Job Brain. My name is Calvin. I'm a neuroscience grad student at the University of Puerto Rico. And we have a couple of lab members that listen to the show. And one of our favorite segments was the coconut crab segment. You specifically told us not to Google coconut crab, and we did. And we had nightmares for days. We didn't talk about it anymore. Anyways, we salute you for all your good trivia and all your fun times. Thank you.
Hello, you excellent ensemble of eccentric oddballs with impeccable IQs. I'm Gabriel, a mini Chris, you could call me, an intense nerd, age 11, from the Illinois, and I have 2 favorite moments, which are a quiz I would really like a sequel of, the job occupation superhero quiz from All Quiz Bonanza number 6, and the Terfagus joke from Season's Eatings. On to 200! Bye!
This is Greg calling in from Fukui, Japan. Good Job Brain is supported in part by Audible Language, a provider of thousands of morphemes and phonemes across all types of meaningful utterances, including exclamations, declarations, and prepositions, and by Square Numbers, providing everything you need to create an exceptional quadratic equation. To find out more, visit your local library. Hope that works.
Hey, Good Job Brain. It's Scott from New Jersey here. I love the show. I listen when I drive. I listen when I'm at work. I'm actually in traffic right now, so I'm listening to your show. But I wanted to take a break to tell you guys congratulations on 100 episodes and keep making more. Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
We talk about movies a lot. We've talked. We've talked about a lot of animated movies, but what we have never done, I don't think, is talk about semi-animated movies.
Oh.
As in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Okay.
As in movies that mix animation with real live
Clash
films.
Of the Titans.
That was my costume for my last marathon.
Which one?
I was Roger Rabbit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
For the half marathon.
Nice.
So Roger Rabbit does not appear in this quiz.
Oh, all right.
It's just merely the example. So I will describe the semi-animated film, and you will tell me the name of the title.
Okay.
So these are all movies
that
mix animation with... Yeah. Now, of course, these days, a lot of movies mix animation with live action because CG effects are used,
right,
you know, where you would least expect them. But these are mostly ones that use, like, you know, cartoon characters.
Got it.
Where it's... Yeah, okay,
got
great.
It.
Here we go. A boy named Milo discovers a parallel universe, visiting places like the Mountain of Ignorance and Digitopolis. Colin.
That is the Phantom Tollbooth?
The Phantom Tollbooth,
yeah.
Yes.
Love that movie.
That was a good book.
Love that. And the book, of course, too.
The book was really good, yeah.
This Disney semi-animated musical features songs including The Life I Lead and Sister Suffragette. Karen.
Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins, as well as many other songs.
Animated parts with the penguins.
With
the
penguins.
Supercalifragilistic part.
That's right.
That
have you
she
seen
hated.
It? Have you seen it recently?
Hated.
Yeah, she hated it. Have you seen it recently, the movie?
I have, yeah.
It's funny, you can see like a green shadow on everything during those scenes.
Oh, yeah. Green Especially screen. If you're watching it on like a really good, you know, version of it. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In this 1964 film, Don Knotts plays a bookkeeper who turns into a talking fish. Dana.
What?
Oh, what's it called? It's a
Colin.
That is the Incredible Mr. Limpet.
Mr. Limpet. Yes.
Mr. Limpet.
All right.
I still love that. All right.
A comic book artist is transported into a sexy cartoon world of his own invention. Karen?
Cool World.
Cool World.
Yeah!
Yes.
With a...
Brendan Fraser? No, Brad Pitt.
Brad
was
Pitt.
In it. Yeah.
This live-action stop-motion animated film starred Susan Sarandon as Miss Spider and Richard Dreyfuss as Centipede. Karen?
James and the Giant Peach.
James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, that is
live action.
Live action
stop motion.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Rene Russo and Jason Alexander played antagonists Natasha Fatale and Boris Badenov in this 2000 film. Colin.
I believe that was Rocky and Bullwinkle.
The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Wow.
Yes.
I forgot that happened.
It was forgettable.
Maurice LaMarche.
Yes.
Well known as the voice of the Brain in Pinky and the Brain, as well as other cartoons.
Futurama.
Served as the stunt belcher for Will Ferrell in this 2003 box office smash.
Was that Elf?
Elf.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
At the when Will Ferrell drinks a 2 liter of Coca-Cola and delivers a 12-second long burp, that is a real burp. Really burped by Maurice LaMarche.
For 12 minutes?
For 12 seconds.
Oh, 12.
That's still a really long time.
Yeah.
Burp-wise, if you count it out.
That's some control. Yeah. Some control over his instrument.
Stunt belcher.
Yeah.
Stunt belcher.
Finally, while many of the Harry Potter films used, you know, CG animation for a variety of effects, this was the only Harry Potter film in which a stylized cartoon, fully animated sequence was inserted into the middle of the film.
Oh.
Be specific. Karen? Mm-hmm.
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1.
Part 1, yeah. Yes.
That's cool. Shadow Puppet. One.
Yeah, yes,
Shadow
the Tale of the Three Brothers was told in animation.
That was cool.
Yeah. All right. Great job. You guys did a fully great job on that semi-animated quiz.
I was looking for a Clash of the Titans and Monkey Bone.
Monkey Bone.
That's the Brendan Fraser one.
That's the Brendan Fraser one with the cartoon. Yeah.
Fraser. Yeah, he gets really mad when people say Fraser.
Well, he's Canadian?
It's because everyone says Fraser. Everyone.
right. Every single person.
Yeah.
I actually don't know how mad he
gets.
Can't
change your name.
One of my favorite parts of our all quiz shows are the music segments.
Yeah!
So
the music segments you create.
Yeah! Well, I'm a little jealous because I don't get to participate.
Actually, what do you think is more fun? Making a music quiz and planning it out or answering a music quiz?
I like making the music quiz.
Me too.
It's fun putting them together, especially if there's a theme.
Yeah, I love putting the theme
together. And there is a theme today.
Right.
So that's what drives me is trying to get them all to fit the theme.
Cool.
So I'll be playing for you guys short segments of several tracks here. And keep in mind, there is a overall connection among the songs. So you may want to keep track as we go. So all I need from you guys on these is the artist. Okay. The artist. And if you want to throw in the name of the song and show off, you are more than welcome to do so.
Okay.
Here we go. First track, please tell me this musical artist.
Amy Grant.
That is Baby by Amy Grant, correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. Next track. Again, just need the artist.
Okay.
Who's the black pride of dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks? You're damn right.
Once again, everybody.
Isaac Hayes.
Yes.
Shaft.
Of course, the theme from Shaft. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Got the theme.
Karen thinks she got it.
Yeah. Chris thinks she's got it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a baby falls down the shaft. It'll be Jessica Simpson next.
All right.
And it'll be
maybe Jessica.
Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah. And then that
old trope, baby falling down.
Right.
The hard part was cutting down the list of songs.
Right.
Just too many.
Yep.
Here we go. Next track.
Somebody named Wells.
Karen, who was singing along the entire time.
Bonnie Taylor?
So close. Chris.
Tyler.
Bonnie Taylor Thomas. Bonnie Tyler.
Bonnie Tyler. Yes. Total eclipse of the heart.
Yeah.
Huh.
Here we go. Moving right along. I think Karen still feels pretty confident.
All
right.
Yeah.
We'll see. Here we go. Next track. Tell me, who is this artist?
Really wanna see you love.
Karen.
George Harrison.
That is George Harrison.
Oh, okay, good. That was I know the theme, I'm guessing.
George Harrison,
not
indeed. My Sweet Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next track up. Here we go. Name this artist.
I'm treating you bad. You bruise my face. Couldn't love you more. You've got a beautiful taste. Don't end our day. Could I be easier on you?
Dana.
Bush.
That is the band Bush.
Glycerine.
Glycerine,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, Glycerine.
All right, last one. So if you haven't sussed out the theme yet, this is your final shot. Here we go. Give me this artist.
Not the little Bow Wow song?
Dana.
This is George Clinton.
That is George Clinton.
I was invited to dance on stage with him to this song.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. And he was going to try to catch me in his robe.
Did it happen?
No, thankfully.
No, because she's still here. Yeah.
Yeah. There were. Luckily, the stage was full of people, so we just got to dance on stage instead. Yeah.
Not get hurt.
Not get caught in a big...
George Clinton's classic Atomic Dog, often sampled...
I had
never
no
imitated.
Idea that was another song.
Yeah.
That was Lil Bow Wow.
Yeah, I think like between...
Or sorry, Bow Wow Now. He's
I think between George Clinton and James Brown account for about 90% of all samples.
Yeah.
Okay, so who thinks they've got the theme?
I think I've got the theme.
All right, Karen, confidently, why don't you go ahead and let us know?
It is U.S. President Names.
That is correct.
Yeah.
U.S. President Names. Would you care to go down the list here? So we've got...
Amy Grant.
Yes.
Ulysses S. Grant.
Isaac Hayes.
Rutherford, Rutherford. B. Hayes.
Oh, I thought it was Rutherford.
Rutherford.
And don't forget the B.
Oh, yeah. Tyler. Bonnie Tyler.
Uh-huh.
Zachary.
No, it's Zachary Taylor again.
Taylor.
Still on Taylor.
But at least the mistake is consistent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Is it William Tyler?
We're looking for John Tyler.
John Tyler.
John Tyler.
George Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
William Henry Harrison.
You've got a couple choices there. Yeah, William Henry or Benjamin Harrison.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Bush. Can't think of it.
Again,
George H.W. and George W.
Right,
yeah. Take your pick.
George and then Hillary Clinton.
And then finally... William Jefferson Clinton.
Sorry, Chelsea.
Yes. All right, good job. You guys were on that, I think, right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Good job.
That's because I know how to go into your mind.
Get out of my head.
I'm like Magneto, yeah.
Little disappointed it's not Baby and Shaft, but...
Good job, guys. I did enjoy putting that music round together. Well done.
Awesome.
Yay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. A word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, a dual limerick intermission with Squarespace. There once was a website from GeoCity. Upon it, the internet did take pity. It moved to a new place and settled in Squarespace. Now all its users are happy and giddy. There once was a person, that's you, who desired a site slick and new. Free 7-day trial to find the right style to make a website that's not poo. Thank you. Thank you.
And we're back. Today is our 100th episode / 2-year anniversary / all quiz bonanza. I'll go next, and I have a special challenge. Let's first hear this special message from our fan, Alicia.
Hey guys, I'm Alicia and I'm from Auckland, New Zealand. I love your podcast. It's amazing. It's so funny and I always listen to it before I go to bed. It's so hilarious, guys. Happy 100th episode and keep it up. Yeah, hope you enjoy my little quiz that I made about New Zealand as well. Thank you guys for being awesome.
A lot of people noticed, they say that your website lists one of Dana's specialties as New Zealand.
Mm.
What is her New Zealand connection?
Well, I lived in New Zealand when I was in college. I studied abroad in New Zealand for a year and I loved it. It was a super fun time. So I went back a couple years later and I stayed there for another good bit of time. I love New Zealand. I was thinking about living there at some point. Yeah.
Land of hobbits.
Land of sheep. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Land of pleasantness, I would say.
Yeah.
Everybody's very pleasant.
So here I have, inspired by some of our New Zealand listeners, I have a New Zealand challenge quiz. How this is going to work is it's going to be Chris and Colin versus Dana.
Oh, okay. All right.
To see whose New Zealand knowledge.
So what, can we collaborate?
Yes, collaborate. And Dana's on her own.
Okay, great.
Well, let's see. They've entered the mainstream. You guys probably know as much as I do. We'll see.
We'll see.
So we're going to have Dana write down her answer, and then Colin and Chris will talk it out.
All right.
Let's start off with this one. What is the name of the native people of New Zealand?
All right.
Okay, I mean, that's the Maori, right? Isn't
the
that,
native people of New Zealand?
I believe that's the predominant group of people.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Dana, answer is up.
Maori.
Yep, correct.
All right.
What is the capital city of New Zealand?
Oh, geez. Okay. Is this
Auckland?
Is it? I think it's Wellington?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I always heard Auckland, but I could be wrong.
I think it's one of those where the capital is the lesser known. I think it's Wellington. I don't know.
Okay, all right, okay.
Final answer?
I'll defer to Colin. He knew about Maori. Wellington?
Sure. Wellington?
And the question? Dana.
Wellington. All right. Wellington.
Yeah. Okay, good.
All right.
I know my limits.
All right.
How many stars are on the New Zealand flag? Correction, stars of the same shape.
Oh.
Like, I mean, you can say, like, the Union Jack is on the flag, but that doesn't count as a star. Someone could say, oh, that's kind of like a star.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Well, they're one of the countries that has the Southern Cross, right, on the flag, if I'm not. How many stars?
You're really outside my area of expertise here. I know, yeah.
A handful?
A fair few. Several?
Five.
Several? Five?
I don't know.
Five? Okay, sure. Five?
So that was my guess. The Southern Cross plus one. And I was like, are there four plus one? Something like that. What is it?
Four.
Four.
Whoa. Four stars. Four red stars.
Hmm. Maybe Australia is the one with the extra star. Ooh.
You were closest.
It's been a while.
You were closest with the four plus one theory.
That's
there's
right.
Like a,
yep.
There was a slight difference between those two flags. I'm trying to remember. Yep.
Here's a food related one. The dish pavlova, whose origin has become a topic of argument among Australians and New Zealanders. What is pavlova?
Huh.
It is food that people argue about?
Mm-hmm. Like the origin.
Oh, yes.
Whether so, like, who came up with it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Jeez.
Pavlova.
This doesn't sound familiar to me at all.
I don't know. Do they have it in Taco Bell?
No.
Is it
a dessert.
Oh, it's a dessert?
Oh, okay. So it's not...
Is it what they call a shamrock shake? I don't know.
I don't know.
It's a shamrock shake.
It's no one knows.
All right,
no
Dana.
So I've always seen it as a cake, but I know that sometimes it's described as a pie. It's big. It's a big old dessert thing.
Mm-hmm. A pavlova is a heap of meringue cake, and then they put fruit all over it.
Oh.
It's delicious. I've had it before. It's super good. It's chewy. It's chewy on the inside, crunchy on the outside. Big cake pie meringue.
Yeah. With a name like pavlova, it's bound to make you salivate.
Sure.
Oh, no. Very good.
Pavlova.
Thanks.
All right. How many hours does it take by plane nonstop to get from Auckland, New Zealand to New York City, New York?
Oh, wow.
Closest.
Oh, closest wins. By plane, okay, so nonstop.
Yeah.
But it's Southern Hemisphere to Northern Hemisphere, so I mean, it's a long way. You can't
13?
Skip it.
13? Is that?
I mean, could you, can you go? You can't even, there's nothing you can do. You just gotta pretty much go there. No, it's not, it can't be 13. I mean, it might be 13, but that sounds too short.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with, I'm gonna say 21 hours.
Wow. I'll defer to Chris. He does a lot more international flying than I do.
Dana?
Guessing like 19, maybe?
Correct answer is 21.
Wow.
Nice.
On the nose.
Yeah.
That's brutal. That's just a debilitatingly long time.
That's like when you need those,
plane.
The first class one where it's like just a bed.
Yeah.
Where sleep on the bed. All right. This bird is the New Zealand national icon.
The kiwi bird?
I believe it's the kiwi.
How about that?
Correct. It is the kiwi. And this is why New Zealanders are called kiwis. Not because of the fruit.
No. Because of the
bird. Because of the bird.
They call it kiwi fruit, too.
And the kiwi bird lays the largest egg in relation to their body size of any species of bird in the world.
Huh. Hmm.
They're like a chicken size. But their egg is like six times the size of a chicken's egg.
They don't even lay it. The bird just explodes. Yeah. And then only the egg is left. Yeah. It
just gets bigger and bigger.
It's a phoenix.
And
yeah. Yeah, the kiwi is actually a phoenix.
And so I went to the National Zoo Smithsonian kiwi resource website. And for a while, they had a cam, like a baby kiwi bird cam. Uh-huh. And people can watch the cam. You know, God bless the museum zoo people. They will answer all questions you have about the kiwi bird, and they list them. And some of these questions are so funny. I don't know if it's sincere or of a joke, but like these scientists are answering them in a really, really scientific way.
In a sincere way.
So here's an example. Someone said, "Do kiwis eat kiwi fruit?" And then the scientist wrote back,
"Do they?
The fruit kiwi is native to China and not a native fruit to New Zealand. I suppose if someone offered it to a bird, it might be eaten, but I don't know anyone who offers that fruit to kiwis in collections."
That would be the first thing I would try.
Yeah.
Or you make like a turducken, but it's like a kiwi inside of a kiwi.
You make it sit in there, but they're big.
Kiwi-wee.
Yeah.
They're going extinct.
Are they?
Yeah.
Okay, then so please don't hurt it.
If you're about to eat a kiwi.
In that case, please do not eat the kiwi.
Please release it back into the wild.
I was like, someone asked the question I want to ask. Can you feed a kiwi and see if you'll eat it?
Yeah.
All right, on to our next New Zealand question. This special effects company is named after native New Zealand insects that look like prehistoric crickets.
All right.
The New Zealand effects.
Special
effects.
I mean, is it Weta?
That's what I'm thinking. It was Weta. I didn't know that. I thought that was like an acronym or something.
Oh.
Maybe that's not it.
Well, I have no other guess.
Dana?
I guess Weta. I mean, that's the special effects company.
It is Weta.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Weta are insects that are native to New Zealand. Mm. And kind of grossed me out because I had to double check this. And there were a lot of pictures of these bugs. They look like crickets, but like in a weird, like as if they're prehistoric crickets kind of way. There's even a gigantic type of Weta. Oh, my God. Gross.
That's good. I always thought it stood for something.
Nope. All right. Last question. Last kiwi question. Who is the first Academy Award or Oscar winner from New Zealand?
I was going to say, is it Brett McKenzie for the songwriting?
Oh, geez.
No.
First Academy Award winner.
I know that Keisha Girl was nominated, but Keisha
Castle Hughes. I mean, I thought she didn't win. New Zealand, and she did win, and it would have been before Brett McKenzie.
Is she from New Zealand?
I don't think she is.
I think Peter Jackson won.
Oh, Peter Jackson?
Yeah.
I think she's from New Zealand.
It is Anna Paquin.
Oh, snap.
She
is.
Okay, so there is a little asterisk. She was born in Manitoba, Canada, but she moved back. So she was born there, but then she moved back to New Zealand.
Does she have an accent now? No.
I don't know.
She doesn't.
Good question.
I've never heard
Suki Stackhouse. Oh. And of course, the most recent New Zealand win is Brett McKenzie for the Muppets, for the Muppets music.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. That's our New Zealand showdown. Good job, everybody.
All right.
Hey. I think we all tied.
Together, Chris and I know as much about New Zealand as Dana does.
Yep. Yeah. We put our brains together.
Hello, Good Job Brain. This is Aiden and Jamie Osorio, and we love your podcast. We love talking about all we have learned. It's our own special thing. Good Job Brain has piqued Aiden's interest in trivia so much that she is participating in the Academic Decathlon next year. Our only complaint is that it's on just once a week. Your 100th episode is special for another reason. March 4th is Aiden's birthday, so happy birthday, Aiden, and congratulations. Good job, Brain. You make the world a smarter place.
Hi, Mason here from Enid, Oklahoma. I just wanted to say thank you guys. Dana, Colin, Chris, and Karen, you guys are all awesome. I'm a huge pub trivia guy, trivia in general. I go every single week to a local bar here, and it's one of my favorite things to do. I look forward to it every week, and I look forward to listening to you guys' podcast as well. So you guys rock. I hope that you keep it up, keep doing what you're doing, and know that we all out here appreciate you very much. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Brian from Massachusetts, and I'm 11 years old. I love your show. I never miss an episode, and I can't wait till I'm old enough to play pub trivia, too.
Hey, Matt. Did you know that wombats poop cubes?
Nope, never heard that before.
Did you know the unicorn is the national animal of Scotland, Ken?
I didn't know, nor do I care.
Neil, did you know that Liechtenstein is the only doubly landlocked country in Europe?
Jeff, isn't that an American pop artist?
Well, actually, it's both. If you want to learn things like that and more, join us each week on Triviality, a pub trivia-style game show podcast where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Listen in each week to answer general knowledge trivia alongside exciting guests from around the world.
And we're here too.
Join us every Tuesday for new hour-long episodes of Triviality, plus tons of extra theme content on everything from The Office and Lord of the Rings to science and geography.
And sometimes we even do sports.
Find us on all your preferred podcast apps and take part in the fun of playing bar trivia without the need to wear pants.
Real mature, Jeff.
Forget it, Neil. It's Triviality.
Everybody, shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, box of oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course, you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
They've done weird things. Cat and Jethro, box of oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the box of oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
And we got one last quiz segment. Dana?
All right, well, I'll close it out for you guys with The Wonderful World of Coins.
Oh, lots of currency and yeah, great.
In the news lately, Mt. Gox is a huge Bitcoin exchange in Tokyo. It recently shut its doors. It's under investigation because a lot of money was tied up there. So Bitcoin is one of the currencies that emerged from the web. Mt. Gox is a place where kind of stored this imaginary money. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess all money's imaginary. Let's not get too existential.
Right.
Whatever.
It stored people's holdings. It was an exchange.
An exchange.
Everything is only as valuable as two people agree it is, right?
Right. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. So, where did the name Mt. Gox come from?
Magic the Gathering online exchange.
Yes. It was an exchange for Magic the Gathering
that's
cards.
Right. Yeah.
That's how it started.
And they realized, hey, we're dealing in one speculative form of value. Why not another?
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Isn't
Mt.
Gox. So funny. Yeah. All right.
Sounds so legit.
Right. It also makes more sense when you think about, because that's their URL. You
also,
know?
I bet you $1 million. I don't have $1 million, but I bet you that's going to come up in like this week's trivia.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know?
Yeah absolutely. Yeah.
What does it stand for?
So recently, an adult actress said that she would agree to be paid in another meme-themed internet currency. What is the name of the currency?
Dogecoin.
I always say Doge. Doge. I think other people say Doge.
I've heard
Doge.
Both.
Doge is a meme with a Shiba Inu. Who's looking like really shifty eyed.
Yeah.
You could use the Bernoulli trial to prove what about a coin, or prove what with a coin?
Purity of its contents, right? Like the what metal it's made of.
No.
Oh, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I think we've got Leo.
Prove like what about a coin?
The Bernoulli principle.
Bernoulli principle. Mm-hmm. No, it's like, that's how airplanes fly.
Yeah, it has something to do with yeah.
So Bernoulli trial is a kind of a concept from mathematics and statistics and probability, and it has to do with
okay.
Heads or tails.
Yeah, heads or tails. So if a coin is fair, it's defined.
Weighted.
The probability of heads is 50%.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
Got it.
All right. Lofts, an American candy company, was the first to create what coin-related confection? Chris.
Gold-covered chocolate coins?
What's the name?
Oh. I mean, I know them as like Gelt.
Gelt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
From Hanukkah, right?
Yep. Yeah, Hanukkah Gelt. Who was the first and only president to have his portrait appear on a coin minted while he was still in office? Still alive, but also still in office.
still in office.
So it has to be way back, because, I mean, they changed those laws.
Yeah, because I thought you can't be alive to have your face on a coin.
Yeah, today you can't. So,
George Washington.
Yeah, no. I'll be, no.
He actually declined. They asked him, and he said no. Yeah.
Jefferson?
No. It was Calvin Coolidge.
Oh,
what was he on?
He was on a commemorative sesquicentennial of America independence half dollar with George Washington.
And it was legal tender.
It was legal tender. He was still in office at the time. Huh.
And he was just as charismatic on the coin as he was in real life.
I know, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, is that being sarcastic? Is he not?
He was not.
Silent Cal.
Yeah.
Whatever. Right. Yeah. The U.S. Mint estimates that the average life expectancy of a circulating coin is what? Is it 5 years, 10 years, 30 years, or 50 years? Chris?
50 years.
I'll say 30.
It is 30 years. And paper money usually lasts about 18 months.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What are people doing with their paper money?
Don't worry about it. What's the name for those who study or collect coins? A specific term.
Oh,
Colin.
Numismatics. The people. Yes. Oh, numismatics?
Yeah. No, that's the study of it. Yeah.
Oh, a numismatist.
Numismatists. Yes.
I spent like 10 minutes practicing that word. I wrote up numismatist. Yeah.
What's a stamp collecting?
Philatelist.
Yeah.
That would have been
philanderer.
And then matchbook is voluminist.
Voluminist.
You're so proud of it. Yeah. That's how you figured it out.
Voluminist.
Yeah, it's
philatelist.
Good. What slang for American currency was thought to come from early U.S. frontier days when the hide of a large animal was a common currency? Chris.
Buck.
Yes, yeah. A buck. When people used hides as currency.
Oh.
Yeah. That's not a coin thing,
there's
but I like
it. There's some contention. There's some contention as to where that comes from, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I said was thought to.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Well couched.
Thank you. Here's kind of a tricky question. So I'll ask the question and then I'll give you a little more so you're not like, that's a mean, stupid trick. All right. Okay. All right.
I just want you to think well of me.
Yeah. I want you guys to like me at the end of this quiz. All right. The Wright brothers flipped a coin to see who would get to be the first to use the flyer. Which brother won the coin flip? And then here's kind of a little more information. Hint. So this is actually the brother who is running alongside the plane in photos. And I'll tell you why that worked out that way. Who won the coin flip?
Orville.
No. Well, it's Wilbur.
Wilbur.
The other ones. Yeah, Wilbur won. He was going to be the one in the flyer, but he stalled out in a sandbank on the day that he won. And so since he got to do it yesterday, like the day that they do it, it's Orville's turn, and now it works. So Orville.
Brothers.
I know.
Yeah, Orville, flip a coin, but you get to do it today. I get to do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Who crashed it into the sandbank? I think it was you.
I called all-time pilot. You don't have it.
What feature on silver coins was meant to discourage coin clipping?
They say that's the ridges along the edge, I believe.
Yeah, do you know another word for it?
Oh, is it milling? What is it called?
They're the reeds.
Reeds.
The reeds on the side of the coin.
Like that we have on the edge of a quarter today.
And they do it because people... When the coins were really silver, you could just kind of like shave the edges of it
off.
And you don't know that it's any different.
Yeah.
You can't tell.
So if there's no ridges, that means someone has tried shaving
a
head.
Yeah.
So they like put reeds on it. How many reeds are on a quarter?
Oh.
According to the U.S. Mint, they standardized it. So
100.
Oh, it's got to be more. 250.
Do you have a guess?
I'm not going to.
500.
Price is Right.
I can't do it. Oh, Price is Right. Yeah. Okay. $1. One.
The closest was Karen's original guess.
Oh.
It was 119.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a weird
119.
Number.
Yeah. Huh. There you go.
Very good. Oh.
Wow. Guys, I mean, I can't believe we've done 100 episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like we just started yesterday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we finally, I mean, I think our work here is finally done. By having changed the course of the year 2014, we've made the future safe for trivia shows.
So this is our last episode.
It is, yeah. And I mean, now we can get into our time machine and return back to our own time. Where do we put the time machine?
You mean our fancy and ridiculous time interloper system?
The FARTIS?
Yes, the FARTIS. I hid it under there.
Underwear.
You said underwear.
Oh, God.
No, right there. Like, under the big cloth that says, not a time machine, do not look under.
Oh, yeah, under there. Okay. Hold on. Wait, Karen, there's nothing under here.
What?
The time machine is gone. Wait a minute. What is this? This is appears to be some kind of obscure antique recording device.
That's an 8-track.
Oh. Well, let's play it here. Let's see what's on this thing.
Greetings, you gangrenous gaggle of grotesque gabbers. It is me, your old nemesis, Carmen San Mateo. That's right, I broke out of trivia jail. Escape was not so trivial. I crawled through a river of poop. At least I hope it was poop. As you have no doubt surmised, I have stolen your precious time machine. I've handed it over to one of my agents, international cat burglar and supermodel, Haida Clue. We're doing some research for our next big heist, which will start any minute now as soon as this guy stops talking.
Bell in battle should be performed at the public expense and in the most honorable manner. Their bones were carefully gathered up from the funeral pyre where their bodies were consumed and brought home to the city. There, for 3 days...
Hey, buddy! Wrap it up already! Ah! Where's Keyboard Cat when you need
him? No! Our old nemesis, Carmen San Mateo! We've got to get our time machine back.
Well, we got to figure out where she is first. Oh, actually, more importantly, when she is.
Yes. When the heck is Carmen San Mateo? Well, let's see. I don't know. Somebody was giving a speech, so maybe we can use that speech somehow to figure out what time and...
But wait a second. Even if we knew that, how are we going to get there?
Oh, well, it'll be the emergency backup time machine.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, look, I don't want to say I told you so, but you guys all laughed at me when I suggested using some of the Kickstarter funds for an emergency backup time machine.
It was an upsell for sure, but
who's laughing now?
You know what? I'm glad cooler heads prevailed.
All right, well, listeners, we need your help. We need to find out what time Carmen San Mateo has traveled to. And we're going to go there with our backup time machine. You can go to goodjobbrain.com and you'll see our little orange phone booth time machine, the Fartus.
The Fartus.
And you can enter in the code from the instructions there. And hopefully we can track down Haida Clue.
Haida Clue.
Haida Clue.
Haida Clue. Not related to any supermodel have heard of. And get back the real Fartus.
Yeah.
Now you might say, why do you need two time machines? Don't worry about it. Yeah. The important thing is it cannot be in the hands of our lifelong nemesis, Carmen San Mateo.
All right, help us track her down. And that is our show. Thank you all for 100 awesome episodes for 2 years of nerdiness.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Man, I can't believe it's been 100 years.
Child,
did I say 100 years?
That's what I thought you were going to say, but you did say episodes. I was like, 100 years, episodes.
Yeah, no, it's great that this is all happening now when we went and had a fan meetup, and, you know, we've been just getting a lot of, you know, just really positive messages from everybody, and it's just great. It's 2 years, and it's bigger than ever, and it's really becoming a really fun part of our lives.
Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. You can, of course, find our show on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and on our website, goodjobbrain.com. Thanks to our sponsor, Squarespace, at squarespace.com, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is the Mooney family from Georgia. We enjoy listening to your show every weekend as we go shopping and trying to answer all of your little brain-busting quizzes. But more importantly, right now, we have a fourth member of the family who'd really like to meet a member of your cast, so I'm going to put her on now.
Hello. I am Voice Introduction Computer Interface. But my friends call me Vicky. I love your show Good Job Brain and was wondering if there was an opening for a program familiar with Introduction Prodigals. If not, could I at least have Elvis's phone number? He sounds hot.
Hey guys, name's Steve. I'm a history teacher from Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And what I love about Good Job Brain is that oftentimes the little facts I hear, little bits of trivia often make their way into my lectures. as little attention getters. So love what you guys do. Keep up the good work, and take care.
Hey, good job, Brain. My name is Josh. I'm from Indiana, and I just wanted to wish you a happy 100th episode. I love you guys, and I wanted to tell you a short story about how you guys have helped my friend cope with the loss of her mother. I was asked to go deep in Indiana and help her retrieve her mother's things after she passed. She was very depressed, and I thought, why not listen to Good Job Brain on the way there and the way back? And ever since, she has basically been hooked to your fabulous podcast, and she actually says that has been one of the main factors that has helped her cope with the loss of her mother. So you guys have done a lot more than you even realize. So once again, happy 100, and I look forward to 200, 300, 400, and 500, and many more.
This is Gretchen in Hawaii, and I want to say happy 100 episodes to you. Love the talk about ick and poo. Happy 100 episodes. Good job, Brain. Chris, Colin, Karen, and Dana, and many, many more.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.